نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد دي كتاب الزهد of Imam Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى is very beneficial for those people who desire to soften their hearts and incline them from the worldly pleasures and inculcate in them the inclination for the hereafter, for Jannah, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This disinclination from worldly pleasures and inclination towards the hereafter is known as zuhd. The muhaddithin, when they compile their books, they bring ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pertaining to various subjects, or one can say pertaining to those topics which are required by majority of us. So the books of ahadith discuss in the light of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's ahadith a whole life of a human being, right from birth and childhood to the last moments and death. And from amongst the needs of the humans, one need is to disincline from worldly pleasures and incline towards the hereafter. Because if a person inclines towards the pleasures of this world, then inclining towards the pleasures of this world automatically means disinclining from the love for the hereafter. And once that happens, a person will not be able to carry out good deeds. And a person will not be able to abstain from evil doings. So it is very, very important to inculcate this quality, this good trait of zuhd in our hearts. Some muhaddithin give the title of Kitab al-Zuhd, and the others give the title of Kitab al-Riqaq. The objective is the same, Kitab al-Riqaq. Kitab al-Riqaq means that this book will contain those ahadith which will soften the hearts of the readers. And Kitab al-Zuhd means this kitab contains those ahadith which will create in the readers disinclination from the pleasures of this world and inclination towards the pleasure of the hereafter. So my beloved Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Ludhianvi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, upon the instruction of Hazrat Allama Muhammad Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullahu ta'ala, and thereafter his Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala, wrote a commentary of the Kitab al-Zuhd of Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala. And the title of this work is Dunya Ki Hakikat in the Urdu language. And Dunya Ki Hakikat was translated into Riyadul Jannah part by part. So inshallah the first part of this book will be read out today.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم اما بعد The chapter on Zuhd, the trait of disinclining oneself from this world and giving preference to the life hereafter.
The good traits and evil traits. Good qualities of the heart and evil qualities of the heart. Tawadu is a good trait of the heart. Tawadu, humbleness, humility. And pride and arrogance, it is the evil trait of the heart. The opposite of tawadu. So, tawadu and takabbur, humility, humbleness, and the opposite is arrogance and pride. Ikhlas, sincerity, and this is the trait of the heart, good trait of the heart. When you do something only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only for the akhirah, and its opposite, the evil trait is riya, ostentation. To show, to do something, not for Allah, not for Jannah, not for the Akhirah, but to make people happy, the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. So zuhd is also a good trait of the heart. And the opposite evil trait is hubbud dunya, the love for dunya, inclination towards the worldly pleasures to such an extent that a person falls in love with dunya and the pleasures of dunya and he forgets the hereafter. Hubbud dunya. So hubbud dunya. Hubbud dunya is the evil trait, the love for world. Love for the world, worldly pleasures. And then the worldly pleasures fall into two categories. Hubbud dunya. Dunya falls into two categories. One is fulfilling the desires. Not only carnal desires, fulfilling all the desires. Desire to wear good, desire to eat good, desire to sleep, all these desires. Bah, desires. And the other is love for fame. So, hubbud dunya, love for world and its pleasures, that falls into two categories. One is bah and the other is jah. Bah, where you want to enjoy yourself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain things where a person is able to enjoy impermissible, completely impermissible. Certain things permissible, but there is a limit. Up to this limit is permissible, over that limit is impermissible. A person goes to sleep after Isha, and he loves sleep so much that he continues to sleep even realizing that it is time for Fajr, he doesn't wake up for Fajr. He hears the call of Azan, he hears the alarm, he can feel people waking him up, he knows that it is Fajr time, but he doesn't wake up. Now the sleep before Fajr was permissible, and the sleep after Fajr is impermissible. During the time of Fajr is impermissible. Similarly, fulfilling your carnal desires, there is a limit. If you do it in this manner, it is permissible. If you do it in this manner, it is not permissible. So, bah, fulfilling your desires, that is dunya. This pound, dollars, that is not dunya. That is not the dunya which has been criticized in the ahadith and the Quran. It is this dunya that has been criticized. Dunya where a person uses whatever resources Allah has given him in the form of pounds or dollars, and he fulfills his desires exceeding the limits laid down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one category of dunya. And the other category of dunya is a person loves fame. And for fame, he uses money, he uses wealth, he uses gold, he uses silver. For fame, he buys a nice car. For fame, he always wears good clothes to look nice, to look good. So, hubbud dunya. Hubbud dunya is the evil trait and its opposite is zuhd. It is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hubbud dunya rasu kulli khatiyatin. حب الدنیا رأس و کل خطیئت. حب الدنیا از دا روٹ آف ایوری ایون. حب الدنیا از دا روٹ آف ایوری مسٹیک. حب الدنیا از دا روٹ آف ایوری سین. Because any sin that a person commits, any mistake that a person makes, either it is because of ba or it is because of ja. Either it is because of desire or either it is for fame. Any sin a person commits. And fulfilling desire whilst exceeding limits, or having love for fame whilst exceeding limits, is dunya. It is for this reason zuhd is very, very important. When a person disinclines himself from dunya, that means from fulfilling desires and from love for fame, he will automatically incline towards the hereafter. So zuhd is a good trait. Zuhd is a good trait. And zuhd is the trait of the heart. So a person could be very wealthy. A person could be very, very wealthy. A person may have all the resources that one needs to fulfill all his desires. But he doesn't fulfill his desires. He doesn't cross the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. He's got everything. And he fulfills his desires also, but remaining within that boundary. He's got a big mansion, good car, everybody respects him, but inside there is no love for fame. Inside there is no pride, no arrogance. He's down to earth, humble and full of humility. So despite having all the resources of the world, this person is zahid. Because zuhd is to disincline from the pleasures of the world, unlawful pleasures of the world, and to incline towards the pleasures of the hereafter. So despite having everything, his heart is not inclining towards those pleasures which are impermissible. His heart is not inclined towards love for fame, despite having all the pleasures. And there could be a person living in Leicester, or in the UK, or somewhere in a corner of the world, who has no resource whatsoever, not even a single penny. But inside, the thoughts and the resolutions that he entertains is that if I had so much money, I would have done this and I would have done this and I would have done this. I wish I had money, I could have done this, I wish I was able to do this, I was able to do that. So fulfilling all the desires, and if I had this, I would have done this. Pride, arrogance. So he is not a zahid despite having nothing. So zuhd is very, very important. That is why you see people like Suleiman alayhi salatu wasalam, very wealthy, king of his time, but he was still zahid because he was the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, very wealthy, but they had zuhd in their lives. Because zuhd is the quality of the heart, not what you see around a person. Now, there have been people who would keep away from the resources of the resources that leads a person towards the pleasures of this world. These people were of a higher category, so that they are able to safeguard themselves. You find so many awliya. If something came from this side, they would spend it. They didn't want to keep anything. That is of a higher category. So zuhd. Zuhd does not necessarily mean that you become penniless and you become empty pocket, so much so that you have nothing to eat. Or you do have food, but very dry food that a person cannot even enjoy. No. All these things are permissible as long as a person satiates himself, remaining within the boundaries set out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and always thinking and contemplating that whatever I have with me is nothing but the sheer mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with sabr and with shukr, a person is zahid. And without sabr and without shukr, a person is not zahid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to understand this reality. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us sabir, content and happy with whatever Allah has granted us, alhamdulillah. And may He also keep us shakir and keep us as grateful servants.
It has been reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two bounties provided by Allah regarding which majority of people are deceived, i.e. they do not appreciate properly, health and free time. Commentary. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has likened every person with a businessman. The world is, as it were, a marketplace, and the life of every individual is the capital which he or she invests, and his or her actions are the merchandise. When intelligent people invest their capital in any venue, in any venture, they do so with the hope of making a reasonable profit, and no one in their right mind would ever wish to make an investment that would, instead of accruing any profit, jeopardize the original capital. In order to ensure that a business is profitable, a businessman has to bear certain points in mind. First of all, he will have to determine whether the field of trade is worth venturing. Secondly, he will have to investigate into the nature of the person or persons he will be dealing with, in terms of their reliability, etc. Thirdly, he will need to adopt certain essential principles, such as honesty, integrity, sense of principle, diligence and consistency, etc. Fourthly, he will need to ensure that his precious capital is not squandered extravagantly in unnecessary purchases and or extreme luxury. Failure in observing any of the above will inevitably result in bankruptcy with the loss of the capital too. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to be understood in light of what has been mentioned above with respect to the requisites and principles of business. The world should be understood as a field of venture or a marketplace. From here, every businessman, which is every individual, has to take his or her merchandise, actions and deeds to the akhirah, hereafter. Furthermore, every businessman has been equipped with the basic capital, which is the precious yet limited life of every human being. And the value of this capital cannot be measured in human terms. The most that can be said is that every moment of this life is more precious than the entire world and whatever it contains. The accumulated treasure of the entire earth could not match a single second of this priceless bounty of life. The only deficiency of this invaluable treasure is that it does not remain static. Rather, it is on a constant motion of decrease, diminishing by the tick of every second. In this respect, it can be likened to the constantly melting ice on a hot summer day, or a tank of water with a perforated base, leaking continuously. The peculiarity of this capital is that it will diminish, regardless of whether you wish to spend it or not. It is worth mentioning at this point that the great Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said in this respect. He said, I have stayed in the company of the pious saints and have benefited from them. The most valuable thing I have gained from them is their saying that time is a sword which will sever you if you fail to take the initiative against it first. In short, life is the great treasure, yet one which diminishes incessantly. If this capital is invested correctly and sensibly, it will guarantee a lucrative business. And if, on the contrary, it is invested in a worthless venture, it can do nothing but effect liquidation. It will also reflect the inaptitude of the prospective trader, for it would show that he had not the foresight and prudence of a successful businessman who cares to investigate the venture he is about to undertake. And if the owner of this capital of life chooses to remain idle and do nothing with this capital, the capital will continue to shrink regardless, and he will be considered a fool by all. This very theme has been explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the above hadith with respect to akhirah. He has said that health and free time are the two bounties wherein people are making a great loss. These are the two essential items required in making the investment for the akhirah. One who has been blessed with both is indeed very fortunate, for many people lack one or the other. But unfortunately, people fail to realize and appreciate the true value of these bounties. These bounties are either squandered in pursuit of petty gains of this world, or wasted in useless activities. Little do they realize how precious a treasure they are losing. One hadith states that there will be nothing over which the dwellers of paradise will regret, except for the moments which they wasted in this world. One thing is to waste time, and another is to spend it in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although neither of the above is good, but the latter is far worse than the former. It is like giving a huge casket of treasure in exchange of snakes and scorpions, which will ultimately bite and kill the buyer. What a foolish deal indeed. But those using the gifts of health and time to sin are more foolish. Indeed, those blessed with intellect and foresight and are busy carrying out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the truly successful ones. Apart from these, all the rest are in a loss, regardless of how they are leading their lives. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has rightly stated that those who appreciate these two bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are in a minority. The majority have no value for these, for they have received them without any cost. The real value of this treasure will become apparent after death, when sadly the treasure will have gone. A man who is in possession of precious diamonds does not go to the carpenter or plumber to determine their value. He would approach an expert jeweler who would be able to quote him the right price and pay it. The jewelers of our spiritual lives are the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know the value of the treasures which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted us. Hence, we need to see what they say with regard to these bounties. As for life, the prophets discourage spending this on worthless deals. They tell us that this gift of life which we have received from the Almighty is matchless and unique. It cannot be compared with anything of this world, no matter how precious. In fact, everything in comparison seems but a heap of garbage. Are we prepared to sell off this priceless treasure in lieu of filth and garbage? They explain that no one, not even the wealthiest of men and the greatest of kings, can offer us the price of your life. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone who can pay the price of our lives, and He will do that on the Day of Judgment.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to realize the value of life and value of health that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمسين. Value five things before five. And from amongst these five things, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned these two favors also. Hayataka qabla sihataka qabla suqmik. Value your health before you become sick. And faragaka qabla shughli. Your leisure time, your free time before you become busy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to value both these favors. And may Allah save us from making loss in regard to these two commodities. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to value it in such a way that we make the most out of it and reap their fruits in the hereafter when we are granted entry into Jannah, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.